Okay. I'm going to go ahead and pray and get started. So, Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We have come to know and believe that your Word is the truth, and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the good things you're doing in people's lives. There's so much more going on in individual lives here. God, thank you for what you're doing in everyone's life. I thank you for what Denny has done and is doing in Haiti, and we're able to be a part of it, Lord. So think of Honduras this morning. The VGF team is down there this week, Lord. And just ask you to bless them, encourage them while they're there in Honduras this week, Father. Lord, bless me today. God, help me to get this message out in the way that you'd want me to. Thank you for your Holy Spirit anointing our ears and, Lord, my mouth. God, this message is, I believe, your heart. And help it to come out right. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to go a little bit easy today, at least starting out. I got some stuff I want to teach through, so I got to kind of calm down a little bit. I don't want to start preaching. If you heard earlier, how many have never heard a tongue and an interpretation before? Okay. I know for some folks that don't know what it is or don't understand it, it can be scary. The first time I heard a tongue and interpretation, I about jumped out of my seat and ran out to church. I was in the Church of Christ, and I didn't know anything about it. But if you would read, I don't have time to teach it today, but just read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. One of the gifts of the Spirit is tongues and interpretation. There are some that teach that it has ceased. I don't see that in the Bible at all. In fact, the Holy Spirit has not ceased. His gifts have not ceased. And we believe in them here. And I really believe today that was a blessing. Was that you, Linda? I believe that was a blessing because people needed prayer. And that's the way that the message got out, that people needed prayer for that. So just study it. If you have questions about it, I'm very open to talk to people and go through the Word. I'm open for anybody that wants to sit down and talk about things like that. But just study it. If you have any questions, bring it to me. I'm not going to teach on it today. Is that okay? All right. We have a lot of variety. We have old Pentecostal people in here. We've got Baptists in here. We've got people that just met the Lord. So there's a wide variety of people. That's why I wanted to mention that. Okay, 1 John chapter 3. We've been in a series on 1 John. Who wasn't here last week that would want the notes from last week? Anybody not here? Okay. Linda, you get one. And Tammy, you get one. Sorry, Brad. You give that to Tammy. There you go. Good seeing you, Tammy. Kind of the messages kind of go together. I'm starting off reviewing from last week. I'm not going to read every verse through chapter 3, but I'm going to hit select verses because we don't have time to teach on it all. I don't even see the clock anymore. Is it back there? So I don't even know what time it is. So I guess I'll just have to go till I'm done. Hey, come back here. No, okay. Okay, chapter 3, 1 John. I'm reading from the NIV today. A lot of times I use the New King James, but today I wanted to use the NIV. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Someone say, that's what we are.
That's what we are.
The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now are we the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies himself just as he is pure. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other verses here. I'll read a few as we go on. What I want to kind of passing in review, I want to go over. This really caught my attention about our identification with Jesus. To be a Christian means that you are identified with Jesus. That means you're Team Jesus, but you're not just Team Jesus, you're Family Jesus. You have been born again by the Word of God. Did you know that you're born again by the Word? Somebody preaches. Hi, Chloe. How you doing? Good to see you. It's good to see you. Somebody preaches the Word of God, and you believe it, you receive it into your heart, and you're born again. I talked about that being the process of like the DNA of God. I've done a little bit of reading about DNA this week. I was reading a book by, I think it's Francis Crick, talking about how DNA works. And actually, DNA, and Jennifer, if I get this wrong, you can critique me later. But they had a double helix that has base chemicals. It goes by A, C, G, and T, I think are the letters on there. And these base chemicals, they are recombinated through RNA. The RNA moves them out into the ribosome, and the ribosome duplicates these things, so you get an exact replica. Whatever was in the one strand is in the other strand. It just pulls out and replicates. And I don't know everything about it. I still got more to learn about it. But for our purposes, what I liked is this DNA is able to copy itself or to replicate itself. Okay? And you are essentially made up of all kinds of DNA. DNA makes amino acids, which makes proteins, which makes up your body, and all really life on earth is made up out of this stuff. So when I'm thinking that we're made or we're born again from the seed of God, we share his DNA. We become his children. Now think about this. When you're born again, who comes to live in you? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Is this just a metaphor, or does Spirit really come to live in you? Or is that just a metaphor? No, he really comes to live inside you. And it's so interesting, the power of words. Someone, especially the Word of God, when you preach the Word, something in your heart, your spirit, is able to receive that Word down into your heart, and it replicates. And what is born in you is the life of God. And that's the point that I want to get across. We share in the life of God. There's only one Jesus, Lord of all. That's not me, and that's not you. There's only one God the Father. Amen? But we are born in his image because we have been adopted in and grafted into the family, born really into the family. We also are children of God. Even so much so that Jesus said, hey, if they hate you, you know, be of good courage because they hated me. And in fact, Jesus said, they only hate me, and when they hate me, they hate my Father. You hate me? I'm the image of the Father. The Father looks just like me. So if you hate me, you hate my Father. If you love me, you love my Father. He even said in Scripture, if you are born of God, we're all brothers and sisters, right? So he said, if you love your brothers and sisters, okay, you're loving the image of God. Does that make sense? It's the image of God. If you hate your brother or sister, since it's just like hating God because they're created in the image of God. That's why hatred is such a bad thing. There's only one judge, and it's not you, and it's not me. Our job is not to hate, to judge, to condemn. We're actually, Paul said that we're ministers of the gospel. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are people that represent Jesus. We are announcing good news that God's not angry. God's not mad. God forgives you. God loves you. God extends mercy and grace to you right now. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now, God's grace is here. Right now, you can be forgiven. We're not condemning you. We're not judging you. We're not putting you down. There's going to be a day when the world will be judged. But you don't have to be judged. We accept the judgment of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and we're saved. Now, I know there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. We're going to go before the Lord. I know that, but we're not going to be condemned. We're not going to experience God's wrath. That's good news. How many know, and you've always known that you were going to live forever? You had that feeling in your gut. Even before you met the Lord, you had this, you just could never imagine not existing. The Bible says that God put eternity in our hearts. All pagan religions, you go to other countries, there's even a book called Eternity in Their Hearts. You go to other countries, all these other countries and every pagan religion, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, they always were trying to worship God. They made images and they were trying to worship God. They understood that there was a creator. They understood that they were sinners and they had to appease this creator because they were guilty. No, they didn't have perfect understanding of God. Of course they didn't. God has revealed himself in Jesus. But it's in the heart of man that there's something inadequate about us. It's in the heart of man that life, there's full of trials and tragedy, and there's something that's not right. So all throughout creation, all throughout humanity, men are always trying to feel after God. But in Jesus Christ, God has revealed himself. And this is the beautiful thing. With you, it's an inside job. In John 3:13, in a few verses over, he says, "Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you." It says it hated me. And Jesus says, they hated me because my deeds were righteous. He says, don't be surprised if they hate me. I like that because Jesus is identifying with us. He's saying we're brothers and sisters. We're in this thing together. You're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In verse 2, he says, when we see him, we're going to be just like him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13:12. I mentioned this verse last week, but I wanted to dig into it just for a second. I really want you to look at it. I'm trying not to preach. Am I succeeding? I'm trying to teach a little bit today. It's hard. I talked about last week how when we look into the Word of God, it's like a mirror. Of course, we see God in there. We see Jesus in there. But James said that you see yourself. And if you walk away and you forget what's in the Word, you become a forgetful hearer and you don't do the work. You're like a man that looks into a mirror and he forgets his image. He forgets who he was. God is saying when you look in there, you should see yourself. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror." Get this. "As in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." King James says we see in the glass darkly. So we can see when we're looking in the Word of God and when we're praying, we see the image of God. We see Jesus. And you may not see him perfect. I believe the Word says that when we get to heaven and we're looking at Jesus, we're going to be like him because we're going to see who we are. You're going to look at Jesus, and that spirit is in you, Tommy. You're going to say, aha, that's who I am. That's what I'm supposed to be about. Go in and look up, like in Colossians 3:10, where it talks about Jesus being the image of God, or Hebrews 1:3, where Jesus being the express image of God. That's what John is saying. We're going to be like him when we see him. So what you're seeing here, the better that you see Jesus, the better you're seeing God's will for you. What you're supposed to look like, how you're supposed to act. And I really do believe all of our lives, God, for Christians, all of our lives, God is in the process of kind of like Michelangelo did that statue of David. And he said when he saw that statue, he could see David in there. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Jesus is in there. And he may be chipping away at some of the rough edges of your mind and your will and your emotions, some of the desires of your flesh. He may be chipping away, but when he looks at you, he sees Jesus, and he's chipping away until he sees a perfect reflection of Jesus. And Jesus was love 24/7. I don't think Jesus ever woke up. Well, let's put it this way. Jesus never got in his flesh, as we like to say. I'm just in my flesh. I thought last night, Michelle, and we came over with those tables, you know. I was a little tired, you know. I said, boy, I feel bad. I didn't give them my best, you know. You know, I didn't give because I was tired. You were tired too. Maybe none of us gave our best, right? But I went home feeling kind of inadequate because I didn't give my best. I'm your pastor, and I want to be cheerful, and I was tired. And I really believe that the Lord was talking to me. He said even when Jesus was tired, he still exuded, well, himself, Christ, the Holy Spirit. I really believe everything in our lives, God is using it to purify. I know there are important things, like we believe in healing and we believe in God's blessing in our lives, but I do believe that God takes everything in our lives and works it for the good, and he'll take even bad things and he'll keep working away at us, chiseling away until he gets this image that he wants. And I do believe it goes on into eternity, that this thing will be going on into eternity. And so John says that if anyone has this hope in them, then they'll purify themselves. If you have this hope that you're going to see Jesus, if you have this hope that you're going to go to heaven, if you have this hope, then you really are going to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in your life. Don't run from conviction. When you feel conviction, don't run from it. That's God's grace. God's talking to you. God is saying, I got some changes. I got a blessing around the corner. Let me convict you. Let me get this out of your life because I got something I want to do in you. God is incapable of giving you bad stuff. The only thing God can give you is good stuff because he's a good God. So he's trying to bring conviction, get rid of selfishness, get rid of sinfulness out of your life and bring in the good stuff. We taught on this last week quite a bit. So we purify ourselves, and I really believe the greatest sin, the chief sin among believers, is when we cease to follow Jesus. When we quit following Jesus. Jesus is always knocking at your door. Doesn't it say that in like Revelations 3, 20, 21, something like that? I stand at the door and I knock. He's always knocking at your door. He always wants to come in and eat with you. He always wants to come in and bring his stuff with him. Sometimes we got to move a little bit of our stuff out, but when you get rid of your, some of us have this old plastic silverware we have. This, what do they call those things that give you a Taco Bell? Sporks. Some of you got sporks, okay? And Jesus wants to give you silver, and you're holding on to that spork for dear life. Like, I like sporks. They got little hooks on the end, and I don't need a spoon, you know? I love my spork. Jesus is trying to get rid of your spork and bring in some silver, and we're holding on to our sporks because you're a dork. No, God's saying, you're a dork, you know? Let go. It's like a little kid. You're trying to give them something good, and they're holding on to this, you know, nasty something in their hand. You get rid of that. You're trying to put some good food in there, and they're holding on to, you know, some dog doo-doo or something, you know? You're like, would you please open up and let it go, you know? And you're trying to pry it out of their hand, and they're squeezing for dear life. Like, no, honey, let it go. Well, I really believe that's what God's doing in us, and the Lord wants us to follow Jesus. Denny, you going to Haiti, you've talked to me about this. This is nothing but following Jesus. He gets back in the States, and I see him getting restless. I talk to him a lot. He talks to me about Haiti and these kids. He has seen a need and the Spirit of God, and do you know it takes faith to follow Jesus? You want to live a natural life, just get rid of faith. Just don't walk by faith. Just everything you do, figure it all out, Jeff Houck. Measure it, tape it, plumb it. Okay, I'll do that. That's what I'll do right there. 1 + 1 = 2. I'll do that. But if you want to follow Jesus, it takes faith. And faith sometimes is a little bit of risk, but I really believe faith is knowing. So faith is like, I know the Lord's leading me, but boy, this is a big step. Or this is another step. It takes faith. When we back away from that, do you know what happens when we back away from faith? A lot of times we just fall back into ourselves. Boy, well, I don't know about you, but when I fall back into myself, that's depressing. When you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, when you've tasted what God wants to do in your life and you just kind of fall back into a natural life, go home every night and turn on a movie, and I love movies, I'm not getting on movies, I love them. Just turn on the TV and watch it all night, and then you go out to eat and you do this and that, but you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to make you more than you are. More than you seem to be, life gets very dreary for me anyway, and I'm very unsatisfied. I believe our Father is unsatisfied because inside of you, you know you're meant for more. Can someone say amen? Amen. You know that you're meant for more. You know that God has more for you. You know there are hungry kids in this world. You know there are sick kids in this world. You know you got neighbors whose lives are a mess. You know you got people that could use an encouraging word. You know that there's more, and you even feel on the inside, God, I was made for more. And I would say to you, yeah, you are made for more. Don't retreat into a natural life. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and he's going to lead you by faith. And the word says we grow from faith to faith, which leads to glory to glory. Faith to faith leads to glory, and a whole lot of trials in between. why Paul says, don't conform to this world. He says we are to conform. Flip over. I'm teaching today. I can flip over, right? Normally, I can't even take a breath. But today, I'm teaching. So flip over to Romans 8. I'm treaching. I'm a treacher. A little bit of treaching today. Romans 8:29. Well, that verse before says that we know that all things God works for the good, even bad things, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Do you love God this morning? Are you called according to his purpose? God's working. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. I love that word, predestined. He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. I guess I didn't make that up, did I? We are predestined by God to conform to the likeness of his son. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, there's that glory, he glorified. How do we get glorified? We were lowly sinners apart from God, away from the Lord. The Lord justified us by the blood of Jesus. He raised us up to be with Jesus. That's glorified. We're sons of God. Former sinners are now sons. Boy, that's glory. Opportunity that God has given us. The Bible says that God crowned man with glory and honor. Man was the pinnacle of God's creation. Truly, God created man to rule the earth, have dominion. Didn't he say in Genesis 1 something 27, have dominion on the earth? Take dominion. We know that Adam gave dominion to the devil when he betrayed God. We know that. It says that in Luke 4. He betrayed the Lord and he lost his dominion. I've taught on that. So then, our goal as Christians, it says in Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, is to grow up into Christ in all things, to grow up in the knowledge of the Son of God. And in fact, that's really the theme of the gospel. That's the theme of the New Testament. And I hope you see it in there. So if you read on in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, he talks a lot about, you know, breaking God's law and living righteously and sinning. You can read that on your own. But the bottom line, what I've taken out of there, because I don't have time to break down verse by verse, the bottom line is righteousness reflects our reality or the reality of who we are. Because we are righteous, then we live righteously. Because we are in Christ, there's fruit that's produced in our life, and our life should reflect that. If your life is not reflecting that, there's certainly some adjustments that need to be made. Either you don't know who you are, or you're willfully sinning. Does that make sense? Because if you know who you are, do you think a prince, do you think a king's son, a prince, is going to walk down the slums and act like a beggar? Do you? If you were a king's son and you were the son of a king, do you think that you would walk into the slums of Bangkok and act like a beggar? You know, go around and beg and go into the stores and steal? No, you wouldn't do that. And if you did it, it would just be because you're up to mischief. It would be because you're knowingly doing something wrong. But if you knew that you were royalty and who you were, you wouldn't do that. I really believe that's the heart of what John is saying. You have been you're in Christ and you're righteous, and because of that, you're going to do righteousness. And I think if you're struggling with sin and temptations, I really do believe if you press into the Word of God, you spend some time with the Lord in prayer, and you ask Him to show you what He's done for you, I do think that sin falls off. It just falls off of you. You'll see that sin is beneath you. You'll see that, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but some of the men struggle with pornography, you'll see that's debasing, that you're better than that. Someone say, you're better than that. You're better than that. It's dirty. It's unclean. It's so many young girls are hurt in other countries, sold into prostitution, and they do pornographic films. And if you watch it, you're supporting that industry. You are better than that. We should be saving that little girl, not looking at pictures of her. You're better than that. And I believe that's what God's saying. So flip over to 1 John 3:11. We'll go back there. I got to flip over myself. Is this okay? Slow down. What time is it? Anybody know? What's that? Thank you, Tyler. You can tell who wants to get out of here and who doesn't. It's like, he's hungry. Yeah, praise the Lord. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. How do we know? Whose picture do we look at? Whose image do we look at? Who do we look at, Brad, to find out what love is? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I mentioned this song before, and I think, Brian, you sang it, that I want to know what love is. Do you want a mic? Because I let you do it. You just got to do it with passion. That's all. You just can't. That's not a song you can whisper. You've got to belt that one out, right? What's the truth? That's the heart of mankind. We want to know. And if you want to know what love is as a believer, this agape love, love was that Jesus gave his life for us. He sacrificed. This agape love. Agape is different. Agape is really the God kind of love. Do you know Jesus is a giver? I heard a great sermon by, is it Schlebaugh? Is that how you say the word? Your dad? How do you say that? Schlebaugh. I listened to a great sermon by Destiny's dad this week, and he said in this message, it was actually on James, which parallels this very nicely. He said Jesus came for two reasons. He came to give, and he came to serve. He didn't need anything from us. He wasn't in church trying to get something like an Amway. See, you ever been to a church and a guy selling Amway? And I don't mind if you sell Amway. I love you. You're fine. I mean it. You're fine. It's great. I want you to succeed. Do well. I mean that. But when sometimes people go into church and don't want to, you know, everybody in that church is for me so I can sell my Amway to them. I don't like that. Okay? We don't go into church to ply our trade. That's not why we're here. I hope you do well, and if you get, that's great. I'm for you. I'm just saying, I've been at places. We're here to give and to serve. And if you're doing that, God is going to bless your business. God is going to bless what you put your hand to do. God is going to draw people to you. God is going to give you favor. God is going to work in your life. Think about this. Jesus came not for himself. He came from heaven because he loved you from the beginning. He was not content to leave you the way you are. Denny and his testimony is not content to leave those kids the way they are. That's the replication of the love of God. I'm not content to leave my neighbor the way they are. I'm not content to leave girls in slavery in Bangkok the way they are. I'm going to support somebody that's given help to these girls. I am not content. That is the nature and the love of God that's in you. Kids go to orphanages in Honduras. They're not content to see these kids stay in need. The love of God is replicated in us when we give and when we serve. The highest we get in life, like Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. And there have been great testimonies of Christian martyrs throughout the ages. Men that gave their lives because they believed the gospel. And what actually happened, because they had the DNA of Jesus on the inside, they got taken over with this thing. Their lives were dominated by it, where you couldn't see where Jesus ended and they began. And they died because they gave their life, because their life motto became like Jesus's, I am here to give and I am here to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Anytime our motive is selfish, it pollutes everything. What's that scripture about the flies in the ointment of the apothecary in Ecclesiastes? Is that in 11, Jeff? Flies in the ointment of the apothecary ruins the odor, ruins the fragrance. In other words, when you get dead flies in that ointment, that beautiful smell starts to stink. When our motives start to get, and my motives have been bad before. Anybody else have bad motives before? I've had bad motives before. God has to adjust us. But anytime our motives get bad and we start getting selfish, it's like putting dead flies in a perfume bottle, you know? It just, something just ain't right about it. It's like stepping on something, going in the door and saying, honey, you smell. She goes, no, I don't smell, Brad. You do. You stepped in it, right? There's just something not right about it. Our motives need to be pure. And the more what God is doing, his message is to conform us. And there are lessons we can learn about love. Now, I learned lessons. God is such a giver. God is such a lover. He's perpetually giving. He's always, he doesn't need anything from you, Roger. So he's just looking at you of how you can bless him. He would like your worship. He loves your worship because he loves you. He's God. He deserves your worship. He wants your worship. But he's really looking to give you something. He doesn't need anything from you. He even says in his word, if he needed something, he wouldn't ask you. He wouldn't call up Blacko and say, hey, you guys got a transmission for me or some steel for me or something. He wouldn't do that. He has no need. I learned a little bit about God from my wife. We have cats and chickens. And, you know, every morning I wake up the king of my castle, the lord of my manor. I wake up and I stumble to the coffee pot. Sometimes I'll raise 1 foot. Good morning, Jesus. Remember my talk about Smith Wigglesworth? That's not me, okay? I stumble to the coffee pot, make my coffee. And, you know, my cats, they're not any, they kind of rustle around a little bit. Then they go back to doing what they do, right? But when my wife gets up, all of a sudden, we have five cats. Every cat in the house goes in motion. They start running here. They run there. They jump up on the bed. Sometimes they'll even stand on Pam and stand, trying to, you know, they try to wake her up. And then they run and they jump in her lap. Some of them go over to the food bowl and they look at her. Right? When I get up, why do you think these cats do this? Why do you think when Pam gets up, everybody's in motion in the house? Because Pam loves them and she takes care of them. She feeds them. She talks to them like they're kids. Now, Mimi, you know you shouldn't do that. She takes care of. We have chickens in the backyard. I go in the backyard. Chickens take off running. They take off running. Pam goes in the backyard, and she's like Mrs. Doolittle. I'm serious, too. The chickens start following her. They just start following Pam around, like Pam's coming home. You know? Because mom comes out with mealworms. Mom comes out with all the goods, and She loves those chickens, and she's always talked to me now about building a chicken coop. She wants to take half the backyard and make it into a chicken coop now. She does. The other day, and this is true, you can ask her, we were driving down the road, and I was talking. She's, oh, I'm sorry, Brad, I wasn't listening. I said, you were thinking about chicken coops, weren't you? And she goes, yeah, I was. How'd you know? She had that dazed, glazed look on her eye. Or she's thinking about our chickens. But that's really how Pam is. I call her Eve. She's the mother of all living things. If you come into our house, she's going to take care of you. And that's what she does. Those chickens could care less about me. Well, Pam serves the chickens. She loves the chickens. I just want eggs from them. You know? See, that's what love is. Love, and I know some of you guys have chickens and goats and cows. Love is something we do in action. The nature of love is to give. God's nature is to give, and faith is expressed in giving. I wrote this down. Love is creative, expansive, and energizing. Whenever I get out of love, whenever I quit operating in love, it seems like my personality kind of caves in a little bit. I become less of who I am. When I walk in love, I mean this, all of a sudden, love energizes me. You know, if you go somewhere with me and I'm really flowing in love, you're going to see me engage people. You're going to see me talk to people. You wouldn't be uncommon at all that I'm praying with somebody. When the love of God is released in me, it's energizing to me. I become creative because I start thinking outside of myself. Actually, the Bible says faith works by love. If you want great faith, you got to be a great lover because faith works by love. It's a creative thing. And so when you're walking in it, it really will put a bounce in your step, and it really will energize you. God is love. Love isn't God. That's where people get messed up. So they do all kind of things and say, well, they love each other. Now, that's love isn't God. God is love. That's agape love, self-giving love. Very, and I say expansive because love just increases everything. It causes everything to expand, everything to grow out. Now, I'm going to read these verses and I'm going to close up for today. I got more I could go to. I got all kind of stuff. We don't have time for it, but I want to read this. In 1 John 3, 19 and 20, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth, capital T, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Now, we teach a lot, and I believe it, there's no condemnation in Christ. Have you heard that? Yep. It's absolutely true. If you are in Jesus, it's like being on Noah's Ark. Is there any flood on the ark? No, you're free from the flood. There is no condemnation in Christ. However, what John's talking about here is the way that you live, you can open the door to condemnation in your life. If you choose to walk in hate, if you choose to walk out of love, if you choose to walk, it's not that God is condemning you. You're just allowing those forces into your life. It's not that God hasn't saved you. It's not that you don't belong to Jesus. And you know this because no matter how many times you say or people teach you there's no condemnation in Christ, if you went out and you murdered somebody or you went out and slandered somebody, you would feel condemned by it. It would condemn you. Here's what I believe. And this is what I believe the Holy Spirit's doing in our life. Every time we operate outside of love in any way, the Holy Spirit is saying, over here. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He's not bringing condemnation to you. He's bringing repentance, which means just to change your mind, to come back. So he said, okay, hey, that's a step out of love. Talon, you shouldn't talk to Kelsey that way. Come right over here. Talk. This is how you're, that's what conviction is. When you harden your heart enough and you silence that voice and you keep that voice down and the Lord doesn't convict you, there's not much hope for you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. That's what I thought yesterday, Michelle, when I was going home. I just didn't feel like I gave my love best, you know. I felt bad because I didn't stay and talk to you. That's the truth. I went home saying, boy, I had a chance to talk to Michelle and her boyfriend. I blew it, you know. And I just really believe it wasn't condemnation. God loved me. But it's any step I take out of love, I want to allow the Holy Spirit to bring. Now, I'm not perfect. I get tired. Things happen. Sometimes I don't want to love anybody. All I want to do is get some sleep. And you need to do that. There's a balance. We have bodies. We have limitations. But with all that's in me, I want to allow the Holy Spirit to bring this conviction. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago. There's two things that God wants from you. It's very simple. He says, love one another and believe on the name of Jesus. If you do that, you're doing well. What sin would you commit if you loved people? What could you possibly do? If you walked in agape love, what sin would you commit? You couldn't, because love is not pleasing itself, it's pleasing the other. It says that in I believe in Romans, it says that even Christ didn't please himself, but he pleased the other. The vision of our church, the vision of Grace Point, will not be us four and no more. You know what that is? Us four and no more. I got my four, my family's fed, my family's okay, everything's good with me, my life's fine. Us four, like you two, maybe six. But, you know, pushing, we don't have an us for or no more mentality. We want our love to be expanding and growing that it includes other people. We don't want to have cliques. We don't want to exclude people. Even people that are struggling with sins, we're not, you know, kicking people out. We want to help people. Okay, that's what, the church should be a hospital for the sick. We want to include people. Of course, we don't accept certain behaviors, right? Of course not. But you got to give people a chance to get in the house and grow. Amen? Yeah. So I asked Denny to speak, and I really didn't even get into this material possession thing. Maybe next week I want to teach on prayer, and I want to talk about this material possession scripture. But I asked Denny to speak today because that's our vision here. That's what we want to do. We want to have opportunities to serve. We want to preach the gospel, but we want to get involved in people's lives and help people. Grace Point has a benevolence fund. Right outside the door there, there's a little box. If you throw a dollar in it every week, if about 50 of you did it, would have 50 bucks a week. That money is to go for people in Utica, in Norfolk School District, that are struggling financially, or in our congregation. But that's what that money's for. Any money that we put in there. We also have part of our tithes go to the poor as well. We have some of our tithes go to Honduras. And we take care of Indian kids, too. We have 10, was it 10 or 15, Sonny? About 15, wasn't it? That we have take care of about 15 orphan kids in India that we're able to take care of. We want to look out from our own lives and make a difference in the lives of others. Do you? That's the vision of our church. That's Jesus' vision. Preach the gospel, love people. Is that what we're about? If you believe that, look someone in the eye and say, that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. What time is it? 12:10. I went 10 minutes over. There you go. Folks, here's what we're going to do today. We already had a nice altar call. If you don't know the Lord,